Kiddos, come on and join me up here. All right, what's today?
Father's Day.
It's a great, great day for dads. We're going to pray for our dads today. I want to read a passage of Scripture to you from the fourth chapter of Philippians. It says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." What he's saying there, we've got to take everything to the Lord in prayer. Is there something you've prayed about this week? Anybody? Have you prayed about anything this week? Have you asked God for anything this week? What did you ask Him for? Huh? For a family member to be saved? Okay. Lasha? Okay. For your family? Anybody else?
I love God.
I do too. And He wants to hear that from us. Now, when we pray, and the reason why I ask y'all that question about if you've been praying for anything, I want you to turn around and look at the people out there. And I want all of our adult men to stand up, okay? Would you stand up? Okay? Now, look at all those guys. Some of them were having to put that qualifier on them. They were having to think about it for just a second. Okay, now, while they're standing up, we're going to do a couple of things. But the first thing we're going to do is we're going to pray right here. And I'm going to let some of y'all pray. Would you like to pray for your dad today and ask God to bless? Okay.
I'd like to pray for
my
dad.
All right, pray right now.
Thank you for this day. Thank you for waking us up, Father God. Father God, I pray for my mom, my dad, my grandma. I pray for everybody that doesn't feel better. And I'll pray for Miss Heron, Miss Trinnell, and I'll pray for my mom, my granddaddy. Yes. And in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Anybody else want to pray? Come on over here. It's easier for you to move than Brother Dusty. Come on. You want to pray for your daddy? All right. Come here, right here. Pray right in the microphone.
I hope my daddy feels better today. And I hope you learn to make him feel better. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Anybody else? One more? Okay. Now what I want us to do, you know, the Bible talks about laying on of hands. When we lay hands on people, we put our hands on them and we pray for them. So what I want you all to do is we want everybody stand up, and I want you to go to your dad or your granddad or family member, whoever's here, and I want you to put your hand on them, and Brother Dusty's going to lead us in a prayer. If your dad is not here or some family member, you find one of these other guys that's standing up and you put your hand on them, and we're going to pray for them, okay? All right, let's go. Everybody, okay? We got everybody? Okay. Now, the rest of you people, ladies, if you would, you find somebody nearby you and you put your hand on them, one of these guys, okay? All right. Can we do that? Now let's pray together. Precious Lord of the prayers of your saints, and even more precious indeed, the prayers of these little children, the innocence and the sincerity, we thank you. And Lord, we do pray for all of these guys. Lord, some that are dads, some that are yet to be dads, but all of them that are a blessing to us. And I ask you, Lord, that today you would put your hand upon them. You would speak to them. Lord, that you would encourage them. The ones who are downhearted today, who are depressed, Lord, that you would lift them up. And today they would feel your power and receive, Lord, all that you want to do for them. Lord, we agree in prayer right now in Jesus' name. And what do we say?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, kiddos, y'all can go to Kid Zone. Happy Father's Day. Y'all get a good look at Matthew. All right, there we go. As he goes off with the children, we found him back there duct taped to a chair one day. They had posted a sign on him. Some men I have known and what they have taught me. Oh, wait a second. John, I think we might have got the wrong PowerPoint there. These two guys, these are the Sons of Thunder. They were, this is James, otherwise known as Jaime. It took him 3 years to know what Jaime meant. And this is Joe Nathan, his brother from the north, who is visiting, he and Michelle, with their family today. Glad to have them. And I tricked them into sending me this picture so I could do it to them today. But they are a blessing. They are a blessing to my life. And I love those guys. And the people in Nigeria want them to come back real soon. Some men I have known and what they've taught me. We live in a time when the role of men in our society is under attack. Several years ago, Time magazine had their spread all over their front page, their cover of their magazine. Men and women are different. Newsflash. You know, when people are educated far beyond their intelligence, and the boomerang comes back around, all you need to do is go out on any playground at any elementary school and watch the little boys, watch the little girls, and you'll get an education. Today I want to talk to you guys, and I want to encourage you. I want to say to you that I love you. And I thank the Lord for you. You get beat up a lot. Aren't too many sitcoms where the father figure or the dad is anything more than an idiot or the punchline of whatever the joke is. But today, at this place and at this time, it's not going to be that way. There's nothing about God's creation that is unisex. God created him male and female. That's what God did. And who is man to try to controvert that? Now I hasten to agree that for generations, you know, women have been diminished all over the world in societies. It's been a lot of abuse, but we talked about that on other days. We're not going to talk about that today. Today we're going to talk about you guys. I've picked out 14 guys from the scripture that have taught me. Now, I could make this list could be 28 or 56 or any multiple thereof, but 14 is where I cut it off today. 14 men who have taught me. Listen to these. The first one is the one who showed me that I must listen to God and do exactly what God says, how God says to do it, and when He says to do it. And that person was Abraham. Here's Abraham waiting on a son, promise of God, believed God, and was counted unto him for righteousness, you know, Genesis 15:6, all that. And yet he's without a child. He's without an heir. He is living in a time where that is the badge of his manhood, that he would have an heir that would carry on. And here is this God, this one God that he has met, that is promising him, I'm going to give you a son. And finally, in his old age, he and Sarah have this child. He's tried to fix God's problem for him by having another woman, and we see how that worked out. Enough said. But finally, he has this child, Isaac, and then the Lord tells him to go up on a mountain and sacrifice this child. Now, wrap your mind around that. But if you ever doubted that Abraham was a man of faith, put yourself in those shoes. He's taught me this simple faith of simply listening to God and doing what God says, even when you don't understand it. The second one is the one who showed me humility. In fact, his name means son of encouragement. His name was Barnabas. Look at Barnabas, one of the early believers. There he comes on the scene, and God is working through him and in his life and is doing great things. And this guy comes along. In fact, he brings alongside this firebrand, this caustic, this get-in-your-face fellow that is hated by many by the name of Saul, who becomes Paul. And look at the ministry Barnabas has in his life. When you look at him early on, it's Barnabas' name who is first, because Barnabas is the leader. But I look at him as an example and a teacher of humility in my life, because he saw God's call on Paul's life, and he knew when to transition so that Paul became the leader. Now that's humility. That's humility. Putting others before yourself. A third one that comes to mind is the one who showed me how to be a man of character. And that would be Moshe, Mr. Moses himself. Look at him in his life, in the periods of his life. His life in Egypt, then he leaves, he goes away, the Lord teaches him all this, then he goes back. A man of integrity, a man of character, a man who stood. He stood in the face of the most powerful person at that time for many, many hundreds and hundreds of miles. And he stands before Pharaoh. He can't be bought. He's a man of character. The fourth one the Lord showed me is a man who, from the Scripture, taught me how to fight. His name is Joshua.
Joshua has the, you know, the Hebrew rendering of his name is Yeshua. To battle. Who was willing again and again to put the battle in the hands of the Lord. He showed me how to do that. Showed me how to fight. And let me tell you, all the couples that they've married, you know, over the years, the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, there's not a single woman that I could remember that wanted to be married to a mouse. I haven't met her yet. Everyone, every ceremony that I've ever done, that woman wanted to be married to a warrior. She wanted to be married to someone who would fight for her, who would fight for the family, and who would stand for the right things. Then I met the one who showed me how to be a mentor, how to raise up others. We've already alluded to him. His name was Paul. First Saul, then later changed to Paul. And look at what he did all over the known world, his known world, as he raised up men and women and mentored them and released them to be all that God wanted them to be. All the churches that were planted, all the leaders that were trained. What course in leadership could match what the Lord did through him? And then there was John, the Apostle John. John, he taught me how to treat my family. Think of this. The Lord on the cross could have spoken to anyone else, but who does he speak to when it comes to his mother? And he commissions John to take care of his mother. John is called the Beloved. I love the ring of the Greek for that. It's agapitas. Agapitas. That professor in school used to make us call him that. Some days he wasn't the Beloved. Then there was the one who showed me where I needed to seek advice. Well, this one showed me by a bad example. For his name too was Saul, first king over Israel. A tall, handsome man who blew it at the outset. Samuel, who was showing him how to do it, who was hearing from God and trying to mentor this king that the people demanded that they have, and the Lord relents and gives them this king and gives them Saul, is chosen by God. And Saul is even in there prophesying and enjoying the presence of the Spirit in his life, but Saul decides he'd rather reject the Lord, have demonic influence in his life, and go consult the witch of Endor when he needed help. Well, by his bad example, we say, let's choose the anti-Saul example. What God was trying to put before him. To seek advice from those who have been there, like the Samuels of your life. And especially like the Lord Himself.
and seek his face.
Then there's Cornelius. Remember him? In Acts, Roman centurion, well-established leader in his community. He's the one who showed me the value of work and staying at it. For years and years, he had been a faithful man. In fact, he'd be one of those that we would put in the category of a God-fearer. He knew something was going on. He knew these Jews, and in particular, these who had found Yeshua, had something different in their lives, but he didn't quite know what it was, and he was taking all those steps, and you see him staying at it. Finally, as he dispatches these people to his representatives, to Peter, God on the other end is speaking to Peter and is taking Peter to the woodshed about his life. And God answers in Cornelius' life with the miraculous. And he meets Jesus. And he's filled with the Holy Spirit. His whole family is changed. Because he's seeking truth. He's seeking advice in the right places. Then there's John the Baptist. He was the New Testament haberdasher. 1, 2, 3, 4. You don't even get it, do you? What did John the Baptizer dress in? Huh? Camel hair. And what did he eat? Locust and wild honey. Man, it's bad when you have to explain the joke. But think of John. John the Baptizer. He's the one who showed me how to be comfortable in my own skin. Look at him. Is he an example of fitting in? Of I'm going to capitulate with societal norms just so I can get along these days. Is that John? Yeah, he walks out, and I mean, automatically, he looks different. I mean, he smells different. He eats different. Everything about him is different. His message is different. Boy. How many young boys would love to have a mentor who'd show them how to be comfortable in their own skin? Whew. Then there's Peter. Peter taught me how, well, all about the Spirit. Here's Peter on the day of Pentecost, standing up. Here is Peter being moved, you know, when he makes that great statement when Jesus asks, but who do you say that I am? And he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. We see him being moved by the Spirit. We see him walking in the Spirit. Oh yeah, we see him making mistakes. I mean, it's messy. Life is messy. If you're looking for people who never stepped in it, then don't look in the Bible, because these are real people who had real challenges. That's why they speak to me. See the power of the Holy Spirit. See, he and John, they're walking by that guy. Silver and gold, have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you in the name of Jesus Christ. Get up and walk. We see him. The power of God, the Spirit of God coming upon him. And then there's Daniel. Daniel taught me to pray. To pray at any cost. To listen to God's voice. To be regular in prayer. No matter what it costs you. Whether others are watching or not watching. Where it might mean your life if you prayed. Who lived in a culture foreign to his, but again and again choosing God's way because he's listening to God's voice, because he's a man of prayer. Then there's David. David taught me how to be a man after God's own heart. Again, a man with foibles. Not perfection here, but a man who had a passion for the Lord. And that passion translated into everything that he did, what he put his hand to. He was a great warrior. And as he went out fighting those battles, it was as unto the Lord. As a king, it was as unto the Lord. A man after God's own heart. He had passion. And then there's Joseph. Joseph. Which Joseph is he talking about? Well, it could have been either, but I'm going to choose the less known of the two in one way, or the ignored one. The husband of Mary. You taught me grace under pressure. I mean, you look at how he deals with the situation. He's betrothed to this woman and then finds out she's pregnant. And in the midst of all of it, there is grace. There's grace. The grace that he extends, and then God speaks to him. And you know what? When God calls on us to extend grace, we don't always see what the end of it is. Joseph didn't. He couldn't see all of that. But by faith, he exercised grace. And then finally, number 14. It's the one who taught me the changed life. Yeshua himself. Jesus. That no man is too far gone. That no person is too far away. That no one has done too many things wrong, has made too many mistakes, has sinned too much that will get beyond his love and the changed life that he will bring if we but receive him by faith. Now, as I talk about all these guys from Scripture, I think about a lot of you guys. A lot of things I could say about each one of you. I'd not prostitute it to do that today. But I've seen these characteristics in your lives. You have taught me. You have been God's example in my life. And maybe when others were not noticing, I was seeing the power of God in your life. I was seeing you listen to the Lord and be obedient showing humility, taking that back seat. I've seen you as you stepped out in integrity to make decisions in your life and for your family that maybe not even your family knew or knows what you have done in their behalf. I've seen you fight the good fight. Be a warrior. Become angry about what you're supposed to be angry about. I've seen you mentor. Bring those alongside. And raise up others. I've seen you take care of your family and the families of others. Providing for them. I've seen you seek godly counsel again and again. I've watched you as you worked and you valued work as unto the Lord, what you put your hands to, and as you stayed with it. And I watched you become, some of you, become comfortable in who you are in Christ. Becoming comfortable in your own skin. Watch the Spirit come upon you. And as the Spirit of God bore witness in you, as the Spirit of God bore witness in me. And what a blessing that is. And the communion that takes place for that. We have agonized together in prayer together as we have come before the Lord. I've watched you, as some of you have shown that you're a man after God's own heart. Maybe somebody hadn't said that much in your life, but I'm saying it today. I love you. I've watched you go through difficult circumstances and I've seen grace under pressure again and again. And most of all, I've seen you change life. Two I will talk about that are in heaven right now. One of them is Gary's daddy. Gary Arms' dad. Became my pastor when I was 15 years old. I still have volumes of notes of his sermons in a little gray 4x6 file box and notebooks. What a blessing Cohen Arms was to my life, as he always had an encouraging word for me to spur me on. And then there's John Beam, who was my father in the ministry, who got to me early, early on. Reflected what ministry ought to be to me again and again and again. I've seen a lot of hotshot pastors come and go in this city. I'm an old guy now. I can say this. I've watched them come and go. And all they were seeking, some of them, was to make a name. Well, I can say many of them have been forgotten. People can't even call their name. But I tell you whose name they can remember. They can remember John Beam's name. Because he stood. What you see is what you get. WYSIWYG on steroids. That was him. But I guess the biggest influence in my life on the changed life, which is the one I ended with, number 14, is my own father. I can forever know that Jesus will change a man's life if a man will give himself to Jesus. He was a good daddy before Jesus came into his life, but man, once Jesus came into his life, our home changed. Our lives changed. Because it wasn't just talk. A little less talk and a little more action. All you guys here, I want to tell you I love you. I want to encourage you today. Tell you Jesus loves you. And I thank you for what you are and who you are in my life. I am not the same man. And it's because of what God has done through you in my life. You bless me. Let's pray. We're going to have this time of meditation. If you have never received Jesus in your life, today can be the day. He died on the cross in your place, was buried, and rose on the third day. And he's willing to come into your life and change you. If you'd like to receive him today, come. We'll pray with you. We can see heaven open for you today. If you have other prayer requests, the altar is open. Today, come. If you want someone to pray with you today, someone will come and pray with you. If you want to just be by yourself, if you want to bring your dad up here and let's pray together, let's do that. Lord, now as we open the altar, we ask you, Holy Spirit, come. Come with power and strength. Come with majesty. Come with all that you are doing in the earth. Let us hear your voice right now. Let us not shrink back, Lord, but let us this day choose. Like Joshua said, Lord, choose. This day, whom you will serve. Thank you, Lord. The altar's open. This morning I had a great gift. Audrey was feeding. We've been babysitting this weekend. Somebody had to do it. And sent Megan off for the weekend. And so we've had Finley. And so she's in there feeding him. And this boy's serious about lunch and breakfast and dinner. I mean, nothing gets in between him and that food. And he's sucking that bottle. He's sucking the end out of it, you know. And I'll go down to kiss him. And he lets go of the bottle and looks at me and just smiles and puts his hand up, puts it right on my face. Happy Father's Day. Happy Grandfather's Day. Happy anything day. Whatever he wants, let him have it. It's good. Right, Gamma?
Yes.
It is. All right. Well, the Lord bless you. Happy Father's Day to every one of you guys. The Lord bless you today. Lord, now send us out from this place in the power of the Holy Spirit. May we listen to your voice. May we walk with you, Lord, as you lead us. You're not our co-pilot. Lord, you are Lord. We follow you. Lord, let us do that today. In Jesus' name. God bless you.